From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Robbie Feinberg with the news on This Day in Maine, Wednesday, August 14th, 2024.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
A court has ruled that the American Civil Liberties Union of Maine can name the state of Maine as a defendant in the ongoing legal battle over the state's troubled indigent defense system. Caitlin Bedayan has more.
The ACLU has sought to name several defendants in its class action lawsuit, alleging that the state is failing to uphold its obligation under the Constitution to provide effective counsel for criminal defendants who cannot afford their own attorney. This week, Kennebec County Superior Court Justice Michaela Murphy ruled the state does not have absolute immunity and can be named as a defendant. Murphy did grant a motion to dismiss Attorney General Aaron Frey as a defendant, and one count against the Maine Commission on Public Defender Services was also dismissed, though two other counts remain. The ACLU filed the lawsuit in 2022, and a potential settlement was rejected by the court this spring. A trial is expected to take place this fall. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Caitlin Bedayan.
Canadian wildfire smoke has moved into the state this week, triggering unhealthy air quality alerts for northern Maine. Nicola Grisco reports.
Particle pollution is unhealthy for sensitive groups in northern Maine. The Maine Department of Environmental Protection says that wildfire smoke began moving into Maine from the north on Tuesday. The DEP says there are signs that the smoke may persist beyond Thursday. Children, older people, and those with respiratory or heart diseases may be particularly bothered by unhealthy air quality. The DEP says that the public should avoid strenuous activity outside, close windows, and circulate indoor air with a fan or air conditioner. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nicola Grisco.
The union that represents correctional staff at the Cumberland County Jail has filed a complaint with the Maine Labor Relations Board alleging unfair labor practices. William Doyle, the executive director of the National Correctional Employees Union, says the complaint was prompted by a decision to begin housing federal inmates as of last month. Doyle says the jail is already understaffed and the additional inmates have put a strain on working conditions.
Asking them to do more with less and including more duties than they previously had done under the previous contract.
Sheriff Kevin Joyce says housing federal inmates will help the jail plug a $1 million budget hole. He says the jail has hired 26 corrections officers since January, but also saw 18 officers retire or leave for other jobs. Greater Portland Landmarks has submitted legal arguments to save the former Children's Museum building from demolition. The Portland City Council voted in May to reclassify the building, which is in the Congress Square Historic District, as a non-contributing structure and allow an expansion by the Portland Museum of Art. Both the city's Historic Preservation Board and Planning Board voted to preserve the building's classification. Greater Portland Landmarks Executive Director Kate Lemus-McHale says the legal battle is about preserving the integrity of Portland's Historic Preservation Ordinance and assuring it's applied fairly to every project, which she says the City Council has failed to do in this case.
The vote really didn't take into account the requirements of the process and some of the legal criteria and standards.
Greater Portland Landmarks wants the Cumberland County Superior Court to vacate the order and remand the matter back to the City Council. The City of Portland must respond to the brief by September 12th. And the Portland Planning Board has approved a combined affordable housing and child care project in downtown Portland. The top four floors of the six-story building would house 60 apartments, with 80% designated as affordable. The bottom floors would be the home of the service provider, Youth and Family Outreach, and provide child care and pre-K to 110 children. The organization's executive director, Camelia Babson-Haley, says the project is a direct response to a desperate need for affordable housing from the families it serves.
And so that's why most of our focus with the housing is to make them family housing. So there's three-bedroom and two-bedroom apartments, as well as some one-bedroom.
The project must still get approval for a tax credit from the Maine State Housing Authority. Developers hope to break ground by next summer, with the building opening by late 2026. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. And coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock on Thursday morning, we'll discuss long-term care in Maine and the challenges that facilities and families face. I'm Robbie Feinberg. Thanks for listening.